In a mixed retail landscape, Walmart logs another quarter of sales growth.
So far, you know, the consumer has been pretty strong, and Walmart has been able to take advantage of that. But they still have a lot of challenge ahead. They're a really big ship. Walmart is the largest retailer in the country, one of the largest companies in the world. So they have work to do still ahead of them.
Plus, President Trump unveils a new immigration plan, and the College Board adds an adversity score to the SAT. This is What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Before we get to our story on Walmart, here are some other top stories we're following. President Trump unveiled a new immigration plan on Thursday that would grant visas based on skills, including specialized vocations and exceptional students. Trump said the plan aimed to reduce random selection in the nation's immigration policy. He also said he wanted tougher border security. Democrats have consistently opposed the administration's immigration policies, including by reducing requested funding for a border wall. The Office of Government Ethics released President Trump's financial disclosure covering 2018 on Thursday. It shows he listed assets of at least $1.4 billion and income of at least $452 million. That's slightly less than his previous financial disclosure. The release comes as Democrats are seeking other financial records from the president, including his tax returns. The U.S. Senate has confirmed Jeffrey Rosen to succeed Rod Rosenstein as Deputy Attorney General. Rosen, who was the number two official at the Transportation Department, was the president's pick for the job. He was confirmed in a 52-45 party-line vote on Thursday. Rosen has never served in the Justice Department. Rosenstein left his role as Deputy Attorney General on Saturday, following a tumultuous tenure that included appointing special counsel Robert Mueller. Walmart, the nation's largest retailer by revenue, reported another strong quarter of sales growth, with more online grocery sales and a boost from the Easter season. Joining me now with more on the results is Wall Street Journal reporter Sarah Nassauer. Sarah, Walmart has been reporting growth in U.S. sales for the past 4 years, and this quarter we saw gains in grocery sales, and the retailer also made some inroads in taking market share from the competition. Overall, it sounds like a pretty strong report.
Yeah, it was very strong. And I think you see the stock rising this morning that reflects some of the, you know, relief from investors that Walmart continues to be on the track of sales growth at a time when there's a little bit uncertainty about the health of the consumer. And obviously not every retailer, brick and mortar retailer, is doing well.
When we look at the larger retail landscape, we've been getting somewhat of a mixed picture here, and we did see a slowdown in overall retail sales in April. How has Walmart been able to consistently post strong results, even as we're looking at a changing retail landscape?
A few years back, Walmart made a big shift from growing by opening lots and lots of stores all over the country and the world to not opening very many stores and closing quite a few, and instead investing to grow online, improve those existing stores, and lower prices, which, of course, has been Walmart's promise to customers for a long time. But they had kind of been off their game for a little bit, and they've just become more aggressive on that front.
It sounds like there's not much that can slow Walmart down at this point. Did the company report any potential stumbles up ahead? We heard from other retailers this week, including Macy's, which said tariffs could impact the furniture business.
There's always potential stumbles, lots of potential for stumbles in the retail business or any business, really. I think that Walmart definitely would be impacted if we see some of the tariffs that have been suggested go through. There's just no way that couldn't have an effect on prices in some cases. When I talked with the Walmart CFO this morning, you know, he reiterated what they've said many times, which is they're managing the tariff, the cost increases that are already in place and would plan to do the same. Walmart and other large retailers tend to be in a better position than others because of their scale. They can pressure suppliers to lower cost. They have more maneuverability on their supply chain. And so they're making some changes, he said, and they are also raising some prices.
And what about the competition? Walmart did acquire Indian e-commerce company Flipkart, and we are seeing a lot of retailers expanding their reach in the online space.
Yeah, they made their largest acquisition ever last year, Flipkart. That weighed on profits globally for Walmart this quarter and will continue to do so. It's an unprofitable startup. But the way that Walmart has positioned all of this to investors is, hey, this is a long-term plan. This is not a short-term plan. You know, we have to beat Amazon, though I don't know if they use the A word, but that's what they're doing. And, you know, it's going to change sort of the financial structure of the company and our strategy. So far, you know, the consumer has been pretty strong and Walmart has been able to take advantage of that. But they still have a lot of challenge ahead. They're a really big ship. Walmart is the largest retailer in the country, one of the largest companies in the world. So they have work to do still ahead of them.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Sarah Nassauer joining me in our studio to talk about Walmart's latest earnings report. Thanks so much, Sarah.
Thanks for having me.
Now, onto some more headlines from the Wall Street Journal. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio is throwing his hat into the ring, becoming the 23rd person to join a crowded field of candidates seeking the Democratic nomination for president in 2020. De Blasio said in a video that he's running on a working people first platform. But the latest polls show de Blasio is struggling to attract support, even among his own constituents. A Quinnipiac University poll released in March found 76% of New York City voters were against him running for the White House. The Wall Street Journal's CEO pay ranking found median pay for CEOs of the country's biggest companies reached $12.4 million in 2018. Top earners, including Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg and Berkshire Hathaway's Warren Buffett, worked in healthcare, media, and financial companies. Discovery CEO David Zaslav made the most at $129.4 million. Only 23 CEOs of the S&P 500 companies made less than $5 million. And although fewer women are running S&P 500 companies, their median pay of $13.7 million was higher than that for men. The College Board wants to assign an adversity score to students who take the SAT based on 15 factors that try to take into account their social and economic background. The Wall Street Journal's Doug Belkin has more on how it works.
They'll be looking at census data and such for poverty rates from their neighborhood, home ownership rates, the number of people who graduated college, things like that. And then from the school, they'll be looking at if the kids are going to college, what the average SAT score was, if they have advanced placement classes, what kids are scoring on the tests for advanced placement, to try to put that one single SAT score that they create into a broader context.
The board beta tested the adversity score at 50 colleges last year and plans to expand it to 150 institutions in the fall. But the new adversity score is not without its critics.
A lot of folks are saying, you know, adversity, you can't measure adversity easily. A couple of folks have written in and said, if you grow up in a household, the divorce house, parents are divorced, or there's mental illness or alcoholism, you may live in a nice neighborhood and have a very low adversity score, but inside your house, it may be a lot of struggle, and that's not going to show up. So how do you take that into account, and who is the College Board to say, to try to define adversity?
We'd like to know what you think. What factors, if any, should the SAT take into account for its adversity score? Let us know by tweeting us at WSJ Podcasts or by emailing us at whatsnews@wsj.com. That's What's News for this Thursday afternoon. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.